Okay, Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
Okay, so I know who they are, but I don't know enough about them. I just know that one likes to fight a lot of people. Like, I just hear that he likes to fight a lot of people. So I'm going to say whichever one that is, I like because I've heard more about him.
Yeah, that would be Jake Paul. And Jake Paul is pretty big on mental health as well. I've seen a lot of his clips where he's talked about writing a lot. Very similar to us. He's really big on kind of manifestation, meditation, and he's really, really big on yoga as well. So a lot of people.
I think I've seen a video of him doing yoga before like a boxing fight or something like that.
Yeah, it's
he
like.
He comes up on.
The diamonds are symbolic of all the pressure they put on me until I shine. My life is symbiotic with the culture. I could never ever lose the vibe. Make sure they rolling one up for me, cause it's been a long ride. We doing this one for Money T. Keep his name alive.
All right. Welcome, Namita Patel, to the Healthy Indian Podcast. As one of our guests for the podcast, Namita is a content creator. She lives an interesting lifestyle. She's a foodie. She loves to post cool TikToks. I want to invite you onto the podcast today to support mental health, you know, talk about second chances, and most of all, you know, bring positive vibes to the podcast. So welcome, Namita. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Great. So what made you into a content creator? Let's start there because probably a lot to unpack, right?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say I'm like a content creator to the full extent. I am trying to get there. For me, content creation is more based on the fact that I moved from a very small town to New York City. So I have used TikTok, Instagram Reels, just honestly other content creators, feedback on restaurants, places to go to be able to survive. When I moved, I didn't really have a lot of friends. So I was doing a lot of stuff on my own. And that's what I used all these content creators' feedback for, was to go and like do things where I didn't feel lonely being in this big city. So that's kind of what started inspiring me. It got a little deeper after I went on They See Me Dating with Pop Shift, because a lot of my episode, well, my episode came out and then a lot of BTS came out. And one of the things that was in the BTS was my experience with my past relationship. The amount of feedback that I've gotten from people, positive in regards to being supportive. I've had girls and guys message me and say, look, I relate to your situation. Like, can you tell us more? How did you deal with it? So I also want to focus on maybe, I wouldn't say give people advice, but I'm open to sharing my experiences to help positively influence people that might be going through the same thing I went through.
And it seems like you feel really strongly about this. So what is, I guess, like, what is the thing that's driving you? I guess, is it like because of your past experience that you feel so strongly about, you know, giving others advice and helping them out with their current situations?
So I think that, like I said, I want to focus on like two different things. One of the things is my city life. And that's also being said because I was inspired by TikToks and all this stuff to experience the city the way that I do. As for the more mental health side and the experiences, I do think that I was very quiet and shy about a lot of things in my past, especially when it comes to mental health. Oh. I am very open to say that I'm in therapy. I support therapy full on. I've had mental health issues in the past. And seeing that from one 30-second clip, something that had to do with my past, so many people were, I don't want to say inspired, but yeah, inspired to speak up. A lot of the times when I posted like a kind of like a feedback video on my BTS to kind of acknowledge some of the comments. And there were girls like and guys going back and forth, feeding off of each other. Like, this is what I did. This is how I got through it. And it was just nice to like hear that. So I think I'm not just going to focus on, like I said, my past relationship and inspiring people off of that, but all of the experiences that I've had in life. I think I'm starting to realize that there's always going to be someone out there who's going to relate to what I went through.
Definitely. And just for the viewers that don't know, what is BTS?
So it's behind the scenes. So when Pop Shift came out, there's obviously an episode, which is on YouTube, but then they also have like the behind the scene clips that isn't physically shown in the episode. So I honestly think people like that more than the episode itself sometimes. So I personally do too. I love watching behind the scenes of everything. So that's what most of the people are like really giving feedback on, is all the behind the scenes that was posted.
I feel like behind the scenes shows like a lot of candidness. So people see like the true side of you and they're like, not like, you know, they're like, oh wow, I can relate to this version rather than, you know, on camera. Cause on camera is a lot of pressure, you know, you feel some kind of way when the lights are rolling and the camera's on. So I feel you. So with the mental health, jumping back to mental health, how did you get into, I guess, being such a big advocate? Is it just your story or is it something that you've felt really strongly about since you were like a child or, you know, from younger days?
So I have struggled with mental health issues in the past. I would say probably the ages of like 15 to, I'm 25 now. I mean, I still struggle with mental health. I don't think you can ever really fully overcome it. There's always a trigger. But I would say struggled in regards that I didn't have control on it from the ages of like 15 to 21. And I didn't really acknowledge it till 21. I'm not saying all Indian households are like this, but a lot of Indian households don't support therapy. It just is what it is. I've heard it from a lot of people, including my parents themselves in the beginning when I used to like be like, hey, like I want to try therapy. I want to try this. They're like, oh, like, what do you need therapy for? Like, that's what you have family for. Like, we're here, talk to us. And I tried that. I did. But there are some things that, you know, you can't share with your family sometimes. And it's okay to do that. So I actually put myself in therapy on my own when I turned 21. Oh, wow. At that age, I found a therapist. I had my own job. I had my own insurance. So I went ahead. I looked it up. I would just drive myself to therapy. I used to, at one point, like lie to my parents and say I was hanging out with friends, but going to a therapy session.
What?
And I was going to therapy. And I will say that I have learned so much. I never was like a talker really when it came to my emotions. So I didn't know how else to express myself. I used to express myself in anger. I used to break things when I would get upset and angry. I would like scream and yell into pillows. And I was able to discover that I do well with writing. I write well when I'm emotional and I want to express myself. I do it better like on like paper and pencil kind of thing. So I think that my experience itself has led me to it. And then, you know, after my parents saw a change in my personality going from this quiet, very like, you know, like touchy girl. I was very like, everything was a trigger. Like they could be like, how was your day? And I'd freak out if I had a bad day, not because they did anything wrong to me, but because I had a bad day. So I think they started to see those changes. And eventually I was like, look, I'm going to therapy. Like it's working well for me. And now my parents are my biggest supporters when it comes to therapy. Sometimes they even consider going to therapy. They're like at this age, like, you know, if they're feeling something, you know, parents go through midlife crises and stuff like that. So like they're supportive now.
Or couples
counseling, if that's what they want to do, like anything, they're really supportive. So, I think the reason I'm the biggest advocate is because of my experience. But then at the same time, after being in my experience, I also tried out group therapy, once upon a time. And it was something that my therapist was like, would you want to go? Because I was still quiet in the beginning. And going to group therapy made me realize there people have so many problems in the world that we don't even know. Like that you could be in front of the happiest person at like a restaurant and like a bartender or something like that. They probably have so many issues back at home that we don't know about. So like, I just feel like respecting other people's emotions also was like a big thing for me. And I feel as if like, you know, everyone needs to know that like mental health is a real thing, whether you can see it head on or not. Like, there's someone struggles with something at the end of the day.
And I totally get, because I felt like I really related to you there, because a lot of times I feel like I also bottle up a lot of emotions. I guess when we were younger, we used to cry as kids, so that would show like a sign of emotion. But now it's like the world is like, just with the job layoffs and just everything that's happening, it's like we have to bottle our emotions all the time. And as we get older and older, we put on this strong face, because, you know, there's people in our age now that are like, you know, getting married, just kind of getting older. And I guess just the dynamic of human emotion is like less, and accolades and what you put on Instagram and stuff is more. So I would say that just kind of us not like showing emotion is like almost like it's portrayed as a weakness almost, right? So
yeah, I mean, I think that's like, I feel like sometimes that is, people try to not show emotion because they want to show that they're like strong and like, it's, you know, but that's also why I've learned over time that you can't just assume, because I used to be that person. Like out in public, like I would be like, I was a party girl when I was 21. Like, I partied, I was out, I was hanging out. Nobody would know what was going behind the scenes. Nobody knew that I was at the club from 11 to 3 and then at therapy from like 8 to 11 talking about how I was bottling up my emotions the night before and putting on a face for people. So, like, and like I said, being in such a big city, I'm starting to realize more and more. I've met so many influencers being out here, and I've made friends with some of them, and even some of these influencers.
For context, which city are you in right now? Just so the viewers know.
I am in New York City. I moved from Pennsylvania. I'm actually home right now. I'm visiting my parents right now, but I do live in New York City full time now. So, like I was saying, I met a lot of influencers and, you know, I'm friends with a couple of them now on like a more stronger level. And even then, like, you see all these influencers on TikTok dancing, living their best life. You think that they're like in heaven getting sent on these trips and like getting free stuff. But behind the scenes, like, they got a lot going on for themselves too. So like, you should never like assume off of people's like social medias and like what they're saying to you means that that's actually how they're feeling inside.
No, definitely. Like, there's a YouTuber I follow called Arak, and, you know, it was like a behind the scenes vlog with him. And he said how he lived in like a 1x1 apartment when on his road to 1 million subscribers or followers. And the thing is, like, a lot of his followers, you know, he got a lot of views, but a lot of that would go back into his content. So no one knew he lived in a 1x1 apartment paying like $500 a month. And he was near, like, he didn't have no savings. He wasn't like he was broke, but he had no savings. So yeah, you're totally right. I mean, you don't know what people are going through half the time. So, you know. But I would say that it's really important to kind of focus on, I guess, just like good habits and positive habits to really focus on, you know, how mental health can really, you know, help you out. So I guess like now, I guess moving forward, what advice would you give to your younger self? Because I'm curious to know.
I think that I would tell my younger self to ask for help earlier. I feel like we don't ask for help because we think it's a sign of weakness. And I'm not saying, I mean, I did like kind of ask for help, like I said, to my parents at one point, and they were like I said, why do you need therapy? You have family. They were completely correct. I could have went to one of my three sisters and been like, look, I'm going through these emotional issues. I'm having these thoughts. And my sisters are heavy advocates of mental health also. And they're older than me. Like, they could have helped me, but I chose to just keep it to myself till I turned literally 21 and got my own insurance plan and was like, all right, like, I can do this. Like, I worked in a pharmacy. I learned how insurance works. I was like, I can now figure out how to find my own therapist. But I do think if I would have asked for help when I was younger, I would have avoided a lot of things that I went through, you know, later. Even now, I think that the fact that I waited so long to get help affects some of my actions and decisions right now, because I'm still, like I said, I'm still healing. I don't know if I believe in being fully healed. I feel like that there is always going to be something that triggers you. It just all depends on how you handle it, how you control that emotion. Like, I identify my triggers. I know most of them. Sometimes I learn a new one every day where something happens and I'm like, why is this triggering me? Like, I never thought of it. But when stuff like that happens, I write down my triggers. I process them so I know how to handle them in the future. But that's all with, like, it's like a lesson learned, right? Like, you're going to learn when things happen to you, how to go about it and handle it. I don't think that I can ever fully be like, oh, I'm good. My triggers are not going to affect me anymore. Like, that's not realistic, in my opinion. If someone else feels otherwise, I'm sure that they have like supportive evidence behind it or a strong feeling behind it. I just feel like it's all about how you control your emotions rather than being full on healed and not dealing with mental health anymore.
I think you brought up a big point right there, because I think dealing with your emotions is like a sign of growth and maturity rather than, you know, lashing out when you're younger, or irritability especially, right? Because we're so irritable nowadays. Anything our parents say or anything, some from the outside, like, everyone has an opinion, and no matter what you do, you're always going to get some form of judgment or some form of, even if you progress, they're going to ask you for the next big milestone, right? So I think that is like a really big thing. And, you know, like you said, control your emotions, but it's easier said than done, right? Emotions
yeah,
are
that's
not
true. Easy. It's not that. I mean, I still laugh. I honestly just lashed out on my mom this morning. My mom was like, "Oh, it's time to start. It's time. Do you need a bio data? Do you need help? Like, where? Oh, what is the status of your marriage?" And I'm like, "I just moved to New York. I was like, it's just been 1 year. I was like, give me some time here. It's like I said, it's just like, I mean, back in the day, maybe like 2 years ago, I would have been like freaking out, like yelling. Now I'm just like, look. I need time. If I need help, I'll ask for help. That's it. So it's just all about how you control how you speak and how you say things and how you act on it. So I feel like I said, if I was younger, I would have probably asked for help earlier and I would have avoided a lot of situations that happened in the past couple years of my life.
No, I definitely agree with that. And I also think like what I really liked you what you said earlier was like you write a lot and I write a lot too because I try to tell my former self. Like when I'm writing, I realize I tell my former self like, hey, it's okay. I forgive you for being stupid at a young age. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay for, you know, doing the things you did because you're growing as an adult. But now like I'm trying to reflect back on those old times, you know, and try to make sure that I can like be a better person moving forward. You know,
I think like jotting down your emotions is really good. It's like, you know, like when you take notes in school, they teach you to take notes because while you're writing them, it's supposed to help you with memorization and like be able to process that information, like math, like you're doing like your math on paper, show your work. Like it's literally like show your work, but show your emotions on paper. So I feel like when I'm writing things, I'm also like processing like what I felt rather than when it's just in my head, I play out scenarios. Like it's just like, you just go crazy in your head. At least when I'm writing it, I'm like fully acknowledging what's happening. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of the weirdo that like when I upset someone or I hurt someone, I don't like to send text messages. It also depends on the extent of how much I upset you, but if I made a really big mistake that like I'm so upset about, I will write you a letter, like physically write you a letter. Wow. Rather than send a text message.
I need a friend like you, yo.
I mean, like, I don't think a lot of people love it. Sometimes they're like, this is so old school, but like, it's weird. Like, I can't do the same. I can do better than like I said, writing a text message, but better than a text message, if I write out like a physical, like, not like an email or like a letter, like, dear, yada, yada, yada. Like, this is what's going on. This, I feel, I'm apologetic. I do much better that way. And I mean, like, everyone has a different thing, right? Some people like to talk on the phone and figure things out, meet in person. I just do really well writing things out.
That's very personable too. I mean, I think that approach is kind of dead, but I think the fact that you do it makes it come alive again. And they're like, wow, this person's not texting me or calling me. She's writing me a letter.
I've totally whipped a stamp and put it on an envelope and mailed it to someone before.
So what happens if they can't what if they can't read what you wrote? Because some people like not the best at reading, right? So,
you know, I've never thought about that.
Like, what if you mess up a D instead of a Y or something? You know,
that means something very quick. That they can at least read the if I sent my like 1 month old niece a letter and was like, hey, sorry, I haven't seen you in a month kind of thing, like I would expect she can't read it, but hope that like the person I'm sending a letter to can like read it. I don't really know, like I never thought about that. I do wonder sometimes if people like look at this letter and like as they're reading it, like all that's going through their head is like, did this chick really write me and mail me a letter? Like in this generation, like did she just do that? Like that I could assume going through someone's head, but I've never actually thought about it. Someone couldn't. I mean, I don't even like always physically write it. I like type it out sometimes, like, and print it. So I don't, but I think my handwriting's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in IT. My handwriting is not the best. It's like chicken scratch. My Y's and G's and Z's are all the same. So
my dad's handwriting, on the other hand, I have no idea how anyone would read that in the world. I write all his cards because I'm like, nobody can read what you're writing.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's like gibberish. But somehow, some like Indian to Indian connection, somehow it always works out.
Somehow,
you know?
Yeah, most people can read it. It's crazy. Like I can read it. I mean, I think it's ugly, but I'm like, dad, like I can read it, but this third party is not going to understand what you're writing.
Yeah, it's one of those inexplainable things because it's like the traffic in India, you know? They all somehow get from one place to another. And if I was trying to, I'd probably get run over. It's like, we're not made for this. you know?
I think about that. I went to India. I haven't been there in a really long time. My dad still drives in India. And like, we were in the car one day and I was like, we're going to die. I was like, this is like, he's like, you want to drive around the block? I was like, I don't even want to drive on an empty road in this country. I was like, I'm going to hit something or someone.
Yeah, right. Have you ever, okay, so, but going back on track, just making sure we don't go off tangent, what motto and quote do you live by?
So one of my biggest quotes, I have a tattoo of it. It's plastered in my room everywhere, is manifest your reality. It is something that I just started living by about 2 years ago. So very like open and honest, I was a very negative person for a long time in my life. Like I just thought that everything and anything would go wrong at all times. Like I just thought the world was against me. I never felt as if anything went right for me. So after a couple years, you know, of like understanding that it's just like that attitude. When you have a bad attitude, I can promise you nothing is going to go right. That's like the truth of the fact. Like if you're not going to, I'm not going to say that being positive also like always means that something is going to happen like positively for you or what you're going for is going to work out. But what I will say is that when you're positive, the chances are higher. I so believe in energy. I believe that there's like what energy you put out is the energy you'll get back from other people, but you'll also get back from the universe. So I actually just, that was one of them. And then there was two that I like really lived by, and it was choose your happiness is my other one. So I actually got both of those when I was 18. I used to work at a hospital. I used to work on the cancer department as a medical assistant. And I had a patient that like hated everyone. He was this old man. He like would just like yell at all the girls, like everything. And like, I always knew my mom had cancer growing up. So I always knew that, you know, especially when people are struggling with an illness, no matter how sad the environment is, be happy. You should radiate happiness on them during such a strong time, even if they don't give it back. You have to understand that you can't understand the pain they're going through. So like, I knew from my mom's experience, you know, this guy would walk in, he'd be like yelling, I don't want to eat, throw things around. And I'm like, I'm just doing my job. I would just smile, laugh, make some sarcastic remarks at him. And it actually resonated with him. And he started to really like me as a person. And after like, you know, a couple days of having him, we used to be split up by like rooms, like different halls. I would be on the other side of the hall. And if he, like, I would always go in and say hi to him. And he's like, oh, are you my aide today? And I'd be like, no, like you got there. He would complain and be like, I don't want the other girl. I want her. So I would have to run back and forth from halls just to take care of him because he only wanted me. I would go in on my days off, watch football with him. He used to be a professional football player in his younger days. Unfortunately, I had to see him like deteriorate. He wasn't doing well. I went on a weekend vacation and he nicknamed me Smiley. That was my nickname. So Smiley. I went on a weekend vacation because I always smiled. No matter how much he'd yell, I would just smile. So I brought this smiley face balloon to the hospital and I tied it at his bed and I said, I'm gone. Be nice as you can try to be to everyone else. I was like, I will be back first thing Monday. I was like, but I'm gone for the weekend. Like, just try to be positive. Try to be nice to these people so they can be nice to you. And he would just like laugh, whatever. Unfortunately, the week that I came back, he like really got bad. He was losing his memory. He wasn't feeling well. And one day I was sitting by his bed. It was actually my day off. And I like really just wanted to be there because we didn't know how much time he had left. And I got so close to him in the month. And one of the things that he said to me was, you're going to be successful because you choose to be happy in any situation. He's like, if you choose to be happy, choose to manifest your reality, he's like, you're going to be a successful individual. And I will say at the age of 18, I didn't really believe it, I guess you could say. I took it with a grain of salt. Choose your happiness was a bigger one for me, so I got that. I actually, when he passed away, I got it tattooed. I got choose your happiness for him because I was like that at that time. I was like, I'm a happy 18-year-old, like whatever, like totally. But the manifest your reality, I didn't process enough. And then like I said, I started therapy and I started to realize that a lot of things are going wrong in my life because I'm negative about everything. Like I was putting on a face at work, always being happy, but outside of that, in regards to school, my career, I was always like, this isn't gonna work out. I would fail a test, I'm just gonna fail the whole class. And I did. I totally did.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah, by being negative, I wasn't studying. I wasn't focusing on my education. I was focused more on the fact that I was going to fail. So of course I failed. And, you know, after like almost like I failed like two classes, I think, and it was like my sophomore year of college. And I was just like, why? Like, why is this happening? Like, I'm trying, but like, what is it? And it's because I wasn't being positive. And then it's like, you know, after a couple nights of crying and stuff like that, I like started to think back at like, you know, your brain wanders when you're upset. And I thought back at that past situation. And I was like, you know, like, why don't I like be positive about what I want? And maybe things will go my way. And then I unpacked that at therapy, which is why I love therapy too. Unpacked it at therapy. And at therapy is where I remembered that this man said to me, if you manifest your reality, good things will come to you. Maybe not always, but at least you'll get close enough to it. And yeah, I've lived by that since I was like 21. I have a tattoo of that too now. Like it's something you'll see everywhere. It's like, I have it in my apartment. I have it at my office desk. Like I truly believe in it. And I tell people this all the time that like, you should just really try to uplift yourself. It's better to uplift yourself than expect other people to uplift you.
Yeah, because everyone, as you get older, everyone kind of moves on and you kind of have to pick up the pieces. But if you kind of catch it early on, and it's like the example you kind of remind me of is like, I don't know if you remember, but if they did like a study on a plant and there was a man who kept like, you know, scolding the plant every day and the plant actually died.
Yeah, but I read this.
Yeah. And then they did like another study where, you know, they uplifted the plant, said good things, and the plant was like, chilling, like it was growing and it was doing good thing, because plants have emotions, they're living organisms, right? So they just can't talk like us. But you know, the fact that, you know, manifestation is real, and I'm a really big advocate of it. You know, a lot of my mentors, even at work, or even, you know, I look up to in the hip-hop industry, are really big on manifestation. And you can doubt it if you want, but it's like you said, it's how much you believe is going to happen. If you don't believe in it, it's not going to happen. So the fact that you unpack that therapy, I commend you for that, because not everyone can find themselves, right? And it's like you found yourself in therapy and you kind of related, you connected to the dots almost, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I think that people just like, giving up is easier than trying hard. That is, it's the truth. It is.
Right.
Give up, you gotta do any work towards it. But I used to be that person. I'd be like, I just give up, whatever. I don't even care. Like, it is what it is. Like, I definitely have done that before and thought that before. But like, hard work really does pay off. I mean, like, my dad used to tell me that growing up, and I always was like, this is crap. I was like, I have to work to make an accomplishment. This is nuts. Like, but it is the reality of it. But it feels so good, right? Like, when you finally accomplish something that you've worked towards, and like, you've been like, I got this. So like, yeah, I feel like I have lived by it, and I encourage people all the time, like, just try to be positive. I mean, there's still instances where I can be negative sometimes, but like, I've also chosen to surround myself with like people that have the same, or not same, but similar mindset in a way, which has helped me stay on track too.
No, that's awesome. And I think whoever's listening in the audience can really resonate with Namita that, you know, seeking therapy and also just making sure that you have the right kind of approach towards, you know, finding yourself and making sure you manifest things for yourself, I think is really powerful. So just take advice from Namita and I when it comes to that stuff. On a more more different note, what kind of creators do you follow, right? Because I see your Instagram, you're really social, bubbly. I see that, you know, like the skit that you did as well. So, you know, it resonated positively with me, and I think it was like cool to see that. So what makes you? Like what kind of creators do you follow?
So I follow a lot of, so I'm a big TED Talk girl. So I listen to TED Talks all the time, and there are people that I just like love. Like there was one guy I did with like, what is happiness? And I don't know anything about these people.
I
follow them because like I enjoy their TED Talk. So I follow a lot of influencers into regards that I see off of TED Talk, and half of them aren't even influencers, some of them are businessmen and women, like it all depends what they are. I also do have a side of me that likes people, like one of my favorite influencers is Deepa Khosla. She's more of like a fashion and beauty blogger. What I like about her specifically is that she kind of broke some norms in regards to interracial marriage, and you know, she's still very connected to her roots. She's like born and raised in India, moved here for college. She doesn't, I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of influencers, especially like Indian influencers, try to be very Americanized and then they don't like stick to their roots. So what I like, of all the Indian influencers I do follow, I follow the ones who I still think are authentic and respect and love their culture. And that kind of is what inspires me. No matter what I do in my content creation journey, if, or that I like have to do, I want to make sure that I'm staying connected with educating people on my culture and my religion, not pushing it on people, but educating them. Navratri just went by, huge holiday. I'm Gujarati, so we like celebrate. My entire life, I have the 9 days of Navratri. We do puja at night. We all get together at 7 o'clock. We do this full like 30-minute puja, eat dinner together. I fast on the 8th day. I do it all. Last year, I was my last year at home, living at home, and it was the last 9 days I was actually home with Navratri. So I posted like videos of me doing puja with my grandmother, and like, not because I was trying to like, I know I got a lot of like negative feedback from people that were like, oh, like, what are you trying to prove? Like, you know, you're like, just like posting, like you praying, like, oh, like you're Indian. Cool. That was not my intent. Like, my intent was to be like, we have such a beautiful culture and religion. Like, why not show it to people? Not show how we do it. Just like in Christianity, when people get baptized, they do certain things. I've seen videos of those all over my social media before of people baptizing their kids. So I should be able to freely show what I do during a very like religious and well-respected holiday in my family. So I want to make sure that I'm focusing on also like making sure, sticking to my roots, sticking from where I came from, rather than just, I know like one of my Desi Me Dating apps is like that behind the scenes, my name, I pronounce my name like, and everyone said in like a whitewashed way or Americanized way. Like, yeah. And I mean, like, I posted a video later speaking Gujarati and saying my name correctly. But like, yes, I'm born and raised in America. So like, when I introduce myself on a day-to-day basis, I'm not saying it with an accent because the person across from me is not going to repeat it in an accent. Like, it's like, is what it is. But then I took the like opportunity to go back on TikTok and be like, I acknowledge that I said it a certain way, but yes, this is the correct way to say it. Like, and I know the correct way to pronounce my name, guys. So I, like I said, I do want to focus on like making sure that I'm sticking to like my culture along with doing the other things that I want to.
I think especially from my side, like a story would be like, you know, having Indian people kind of just kind of like put others down just so you know, if you're celebrating a religion or something you're passionate about, I feel like we all try to one up each other, or we try to say, oh, this person's basic or this person doesn't understand something. But I also feel like sometimes it's like what you said with other people's religion and how they kind of, you know, uplift others. I think you could just say like, hey, good job on this, you know, puja, and call it a day, instead of, you know, judging or kind of questioning or be like, oh, why are you so religious? Like, you shouldn't question others. You should just accept them for the way they are. And it just kind of goes a long way, because then you're kind of like empowering our community, right? If one person does it to another, yeah, it will be like a whole ripple effect. But I feel like in our community right nowadays, everything that we try to do that is just normal is kind of looked down on. And we're trying to, like you said, we're trying to live this life of being almost super American, but then not super Indian. And I try to live both. But like you said, if someone asked me how I pronounce my name, and I would be like, it's Umang. But if it's someone, you know, at work who just needs something real quick, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to kind of give him a whole spiel when he needs a document.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like you said earlier, like in the beginning of the episode, like when you're on camera, it's much different. So like, was I subconsciously 100% aware that I was on a South Asian show? Yes. But in the moment when I'm on camera, did I be like, oh, Namita, make sure you say your name, Namita Patel. Like, don't say like Namita Patel. No, that's not what was going through my head. I was introducing myself to someone spoke in English with for 3 hours. So yes, I'm going to assume that that's the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth. So yeah, I want to make sure that like, I make sure that I follow, and I don't only follow like brown content creators. I do follow like other people, but I think my primary focus is I focus on a lot of South Asian creators.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. No, and I think it's good to focus on them too, because sometimes I feel like we need unity, and we need community definitely within our space. And I think it's okay to have those hard conversations with our creators as well. And, you know, I'm always trying to push the limits and the edge of how we can do things, because I think that's how you do it, right? Where have you seen like another Indian podcaster as often? I mean, there's others, but I'm just saying like not as many, not as prominent, right? So I definitely want to commend you for that. And I think what you're doing is great. And I think it's good to know you about your journey. So rapid fire round. Are you ready for it?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
Okay. So I know who they are, but I don't know enough about them. I just know that one likes to fight a lot of people. Like I just hear that he likes to fight a lot of people. So I'm going to say whichever one that is, I like because I've heard more about him.
Yeah, that would be Jake Paul. And Jake Paul is pretty big on mental health as well. I've seen a lot of his clips where he's talked about writing a lot, very similar to us. He's really big on kind of manifestation, meditation, and he's really, really big on yoga as well. So a lot of people.
I think I've seen a video of him doing yoga before like a boxing fight or something like that.
Yeah, it's
he
like.
He comes up on stretching. My socials.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a fan of him mainly for his fitness and motivation, aside from the YouTube and the personality and all that. I appreciate anyone that is putting work in the gym and that is willing to kind of, you know, commit to themselves and find the better version of themselves. Because I think we're all trying to do that. Next topic of action, Pretty Zinta or Alia Bhatt? Because that's like my childhood and my current hood.
Yeah,
I
that's
guess.
A tough one because I'm obsessed with Rocky Irani right now. But correct. I have to stand in my roots and say Pretty Zinta is definitely more favored in my case.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think like when I was younger, I used to look up to her and Hrithik Roshan a lot.
I love Hrithik Roshan.
Like, but them together was like my favorite like movies. You know what I mean? And then
I was like
now,
Karina and Hrithik.
Yeah, like that was like the go-to movie back in the day, and I felt like I want to grow up to be like that. But then the way I grew up now is still good, but like not nowhere close.
I also feel like the '90s are like. Was where it's at or like early 2000s. I swear that Rocky Irani is resonates. The only movie that I've seen recently in Bollywood that I actually like. I'm not gonna lie, I saw it like twice in theaters. I've seen it like three times on my own. It's only been out for like 2 or 3 months, but like it's because it relates to like older movies. That's why I think I like it more. I think the newer stuff isn't really like for me.
Right. Rocky Irani was like a hit. I liked it more than Javan. Mainly because I like the whole personality of Ranveer Singh and Alia Bhatt and like women, right? Like women's ability to kind of like have certain roles that are not traditional, which I thought was
yeah,
kind of cool.
I think that was definitely the bigger part for me. I liked both movies. I honestly can't say like one over the other.
Javan was
I liked
still
the
good,
acting. But... I think what I liked about Javan was more that the messages that it had to like give across, like what they was trying to explain. Some of those things I don't even know like happens in India or has happened. So it was nice to actually be like a little educated on certain things. But yeah, Rocky Irani, I can't say I probably won't watch it again today.
Good
very
to know.
Likely after this conversation.
Yeah, like, I'm feeling this right now. Maybe some ice cream and Rocky Irani. All right, a few more to go. Instagram or TikTok? I know you're a TikToker, but which one do you like more?
TikTok.
TikTok? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to go with Instagram on that one just because I think I am more part of the posting, but I don't know how girls do TikToks and I don't know how they do the dance.
Oh, is it in regards to what I like to post? Then I like to post more on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
TikTok I like better because I like to like, I think on TikTok you like, it's the best place to find like where to go eat and where to go hang out and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nifty for like kind of like the local stuff. I mean, like I live in Jersey too, and there's a new restaurant called Social Hub that opened up, and it was on TikTok. And
I saw that. It came up on my For You page.
Yeah. It's literally right next to where I live. Shout out to the audience. but it's right there, so it's really good. They have like a fusion of everything. So, TikTok is nifty in that. But yeah, I was just saying in general, I would say I like Instagram more because I've been more loyal to Instagram. But
yeah,
I
like posting more on Instagram, but I like scrolling more through TikTok because I'm more like, I just like to see more. And like,
it's so addicting. I deleted it. I had to. Otherwise, my life would have
been. The second person that told me that today, like not like this week. Today, someone else also was like, oh, I deleted TikTok because it's like, I can't get off of it. I, on the other hand, am totally content with the fact that I can't get off of it. So I will not be
self-sabotage. It's all good. Okay, so what's your favorite podcast besides this one, obviously? And yeah, I think that's like the one of the last ones I have.
I guess TED Talks don't count as a podcast. I do listen to them on like a podcast term. So
more like a YouTube platform.
So one of the more like really basic, and this is like, it's honestly pretty okay. So before I even say it, so there's a reason I like it. So I don't know if you've heard of Caller Daddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I did not like Call Her Daddy back in the day. I hated it. I thought it was stupid. No offense to, you know, the creators of it. But I just didn't care for what they talked about. But once like the split happened between like the two girls, Sophia and Alex, I now like what it does. I like the people that it brings on. It's just like, I really like, you know, they brought Priyanka Chopra on, which like not the biggest fan of her, but really enjoyed hearing her story.
Yeah, step up.
So like, I think that she's chosen as a, like, as being on podcast, like she's picked people that people want to listen to. So I do listen to them. And then, there's a girl, Bobby Althoff, that she's like, yes, the one that's like super serious. I don't think I said her last name.
Right, Drake, and then like Tyga and all these people and stuff. So
yeah, podcasts I listen to are clearly not that educational. The only educational thing I listen to is TED Talks, but I just like how she's like, has no emotion. Like, I feel like I've tried it before. Like,
it's so hard down. For 40 minutes straight too. I don't know how Bobby kind of pulls that off too. And
I have no idea. I want to ask her. You should ask her to be on this and ask her.
If she responds to me, sure. If she doesn't, it's all good. You know? But yeah, I did see her where she was at the Drake concert. She was looking very like straight faced. And I was like, I don't know how you do that. And then there was another one with Tyga too, like where they were at the zoo and, you know, they were just talking to each other. And I saw the most recent one with Maluma. So that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one just yet. She just kills me. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm so amused by just like watching her, like just not give it. And some of the things people say, like when Drake was talking to her at one point too, like I'm sitting here cracking up and I'm just like, so at what point are you going to laugh? Like, are you going to break? And I seriously don't even think they do a lot of editing. I just think she can keep a face like that, which is nuts to me.
Yeah, I think that's like the key. I think really the substance in what she says is, it's not terrible, but it's good. She extracts information from the viewers, but I think it's the face that stays still for so long and you're just like captivated by it. Because even the rappers too, she makes them feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, damn, like that takes skill, because you're making the guest, the one you invited over, uncomfortable, but they're like somehow opening up to you over a long duration of time.
I do better with like video podcasts than like the just like
have
listening.
Very similar interests as an offline topic of conversation. So very similar, which I did not expect. Last one, night out with the girls or night out with cousins or your family? Because I know sometimes when you have cousins who are girls too and out with the girls, I mean, it could be a different vibe. There's different levels to it, you know? So
I love my cousins. Like, I honestly, this is like really like degrading myself, I don't have a lot of female friends, and I think a lot of the reason behind that is because I've changed my mentality heavily from like back when I was like 18, 19, 20, 21, party girl, party, 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 like, you know, like fake IDs, let's go drink, let's go do this, like I wanted to be, I'm not saying I don't drink, I do, but like, I think that like, in that combination, a lot of things start, like jealousy, competition, drama, like all that. And I realized I didn't want that kind of energy in my life. So I probably have like two female best friends and maybe like four or five girlfriends that I actually talk to. I don't really talk to a lot of girls. So like, and they're all like, my best friend just got back from deployment in Kuwait. So I didn't see her for a year. So like, 90% of the time I'm out with my sisters and my cousins, and I have no problem saying that. I love them. They're like, we also grew a lot. When I was younger, I didn't really get along with them that much. I wanted them to stay completely out of my life. But over the past 3 to 4 years, I could not, like, I couldn't go a day without like talking to my sisters or cousins. Like, they're just like, they're my lifeline.
No, definitely. Like, family's always going to be there. And you can't like, I feel like there's always bonds between family. Like, there, yes, there's disagreements and there's agreements, but at the end of the day, you're family, and, you know, whatever happens, it still is a reflection of you. So, you know, whatever you can say, family is family. And it means a lot because, yeah, I'm very family oriented as well. And I have a very close family and I love them. So, no, I definitely get it. Like, we have mostly boys in our family, not as many girls, but the two girls are like on a pedestal in our family. So, Rakshabandhan, yo, they be getting everything. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, we're
they
the getting opposite. Everything. We're all girls. My dad is the one brother. He has three older sisters, and I have a sister, and then all my dad's sisters have two daughters. So we're literally all females. Wow. And then just when you think it ends there, my sister just had a baby girl, and my other sister is having a baby girl in December. So we just are like keeping the girl trend going. The Patel girls are really just like, they're really getting at it.
Since you guys are all girls, you guys should all go see Barbie, because that'd be kind of cute. Good family idea.
So the only unfortunate thing, and which is also why I would choose night with the cousins over girls, is we don't live near each other. So when we do all get together, I'm actually getting together with all of them this weekend on Friday. We're going upstate to like a farm getaway type thing. Very excited for it. But like, so we only get so much time to spend out with one another. We did not get to see Barbie together. I did see Barbie on my own with a family friend. She's also like a sister to me. So like, I went to go see like a couple of movies with her. But aside from that, yeah, I think my cousins and my sisters they're really fun. Like,
yeah,
I don't think I've ever taken like friends out with like my sisters or cousins and they've been like, oh, this sucks. Like, they're just very welcoming. We're all really like positive energy, and like, you can't also like, I can't say like the inside jokes are not fun, like, you know, making fun of our parents and like our aunts and uncles and all that. Like, there's, you can't only do that with your cousin.
Yeah. they do say like, if you have a sibling or siblings, like cousins, the thing is, your spouse is someone you start dating later on in life. Your parents are someone you are close with early on in life, but you kind of deviate because of different lifestyles. But your siblings and your cousins are the ones that are with you forever till you die. So it makes sense why, you know, we're more close to them, and there's more like inside jokes and just like mannerisms we understand. And we grow with them, right? We're all around the same age. No matter like what age you could be, there's just that relationship you have, right? Because I have a cousin who's technically I have a niece who's my age. But like, it's like we're like cousins, you know?
Yeah, so I've like given up on like the whole like family tree. I try to like, I'll explain to like, I don't know, tree, like, yeah. I have two cousins of mine, my dad's oldest sister's daughters. We were like born and raised in the same household. I don't call them cousins, I call them sisters. So when I go around to people and I'm like, oh yeah, like my sister, people are like, that's not your sister. And I was like, you don't get it. Like, you don't understand. Or like,
sounds like one of my friends,
yeah. Or like, I'll be like, my cousin, and like someone will be like, oh, like, how is that your cousin? That's like your dad's cousin's daughter. Like, that's like your second cousin, or like removed, yada yada. And I'm like, it's my cousin. It's like, it's literally, if they are someone's child and in relation, I don't know what a second cousin is. I don't know what like removing people is and bringing them in. All I know is they're my cousin.
That's so sweet. Well, I'm glad to know that you have an awesome family, and it was great to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for, you know, just being willing to be such a good sport and like come on so quickly. And I'm glad that you came on quickly, and I'm willing to be in touch with you more. And thank you so much. It really helps the podcast, and definitely I like to spread mental health. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks. See ya.